conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is
welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. And I want to thank everybody who's been calling in the last couple of days and welcoming me back to the airwaves of Civic Media. Having a great time. We're in our third hour today, and we've been discussing freedoms so far today. How free are we? How free are we when people are walking around with guns on their hips and assault rifles in their arms? How free are we? And how free are women in the United States these days when they can't seek, when they can't get reproductive care, when they have to travel hundreds or thousands of miles just to get the reproductive care that they need? How free are we? I'm going to discuss that in just a second here. I also want to mention that normally on Wednesdays at this time, we've got Dr. Robert Craig on the air with us discussing things concerning citizen action and all the important things that they're involved in. And we're going to have him on the air again today, too. But in just a couple of minutes, I just wanted to tie things up from what we were discussing in the previous 2 hours. You know, we've been discussing gun rights, been discussing abortion rights, the infringement on these rights of Americans. And I just came across this article about how these two things came together down in Texas. The headline from AP News says, a Texas woman was fatally shot by her boyfriend after she got an abortion, police say. This was posted yesterday or last night. A Dateline Dallas, it says, a man who didn't want his girlfriend to get an abortion fatally shot her during a confrontation in a Dallas parking lot, police said. He was jailed on a murder charge as of Friday. Texas banned abortions after roughly 6 weeks of pregnancy in September of 2021, but nearly all abortions have been halted in Texas since Roe v. Wade was overturned last summer, except in cases of medical emergency. Gabriela Gonzalez, 26 years old, was with her boyfriend, 22-year-old Harold Thompson, on Wednesday when he tried to put her in a chokehold, according to an arrest warrant affidavit. She had returned the night before from Colorado, where she had gone to get an abortion. This is an example of how somebody has to travel outside of their local area to get an abortion. And of course, her boyfriend found out about it. Now, if she didn't have to go to Colorado, if she could have gone somewhere in her area, would he have even found out about it? The story goes on and says, quote, it is believed that the suspect was the father of the child, the affidavit said. The suspect did not want her, Gonzalez, to get an abortion. Surveillance video from the parking lot shows Gonzalez shrugs him off, police said, and the two continue walking. Thompson then pulls out a gun and shoots Gonzalez in the head. She falls to the ground and Thompson shoots her multiple times before running away, the affidavit said. Thompson was arrested later Wednesday and is being held in the Dallas County Jail without bond. Court records did not list an attorney who could speak on his behalf. Gonzalez's sister was at the scene and heard the shooting, police said. Another witness saw Thompson try to choke Gonzalez but couldn't call police because she did not have her cell phone. At the time of the shooting, Thompson had been charged with assault of a family member who accused him of choking her in March. The affidavit from March does not specifically name Gonzalez as the person who was assaulted, but it does say the woman told police that Thompson beat her up multiple times throughout the entirety of their relationship, and that Thompson told police the woman was pregnant with his child at the time. The woman, quote, reiterated that she is scared of the suspect because he had made threats to harm her family and her children, according to the affidavit. Now, let me ask you this. Should somebody like that have a gun? Should they have easy access to a gun? Should they be able to go into their local firearm store, just buy a gun without any questions being asked, without a background check being done? That's an interesting question. I'll leave it there for now. And let's go to our guest now. We've got Dr. Robert Craig on the phone with us from Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, how are you today?
I'm good. Glad you're talking about these issues and talking about freedom.
Yeah. What do you have for us today?
Well, I mean, we obviously are concerned with the same thing you're laying out here. That is to say that we have a number of threats to freedom coming from a growing right-wing movement that is not your grandfather's Republican Party, so to speak, and will impose its will on things like gun control, things like the rights of trans people, for example, on the imposition of their moral view upon women that denies them basic reproductive freedom, etc. And we are seeing that in the state budget process here in Wisconsin. So we've been, we're a statewide organization with members across the state, extremely engaged on healthcare and especially the BatchCare expansion issue, where we're one of 10 states now that have turned down the Medicaid expansion money, causing a horrendous coverage gap.
Yeah. Hey, I want you to repeat that fact. You know, Wisconsin is one of only 10 states left. You know, think about all the red states, all the Republican states, yet Wisconsin is one of only 10 states left out of 50 that hasn't accepted the Medicaid expansion money. It's like, how can they even justify that when, you know, thousands of people are going without the health care they need? It's hard to believe that Wisconsin is one of those states yet.
It's red state after red state that's taken the money. I mean, your Louisiana's, your Idaho's, right? And in fact, North Carolina, which was a holdout that has a Democrat governor and a gerrymandered legislature that supermajority Republican like Wisconsin, they just agreed to take the Medicaid expansion money. And so there are about 90,000 people just by the poverty line who are being denied access to affordable coverage. And in the testimony for the Joint Finance Committee itself of the legislature that writes the budget, they heard searing testimony, and we were part of getting a lot of that out. Child care workers who were turning down hours to impoverish themselves, denying a service that's in desperate need so they can get badger care because they have chronic health conditions. Home care workers doing the same thing. A woman testified from Tomahawk. Her name is Peggy McDowell, excuse me. And she had to divorce her husband. They still live together and still love each other very much, so she get below the badger care line and receive badger care because she has chronic health conditions. And we're also, it's even worse in Wisconsin because of the 10 remaining states, we're the only one that did it in a way under Scott Walker where we are paying more money to cover fewer people. So what that means is, we're giving up $2.2 billion in federal money just in the next 2 years and every budget moving forward to cover more people with health care, which is a basic right. And we are also giving up $1.6 billion in state revenue that could be used for anything, could be used to fully fund public schools, for shared revenue for our cities, et cetera. We're just giving that away for the privilege of covering fewer people. So I got to tell you, when Republican presidential candidates come here, they can't get their mind around why we did it this way. And this legislature just ignores all the testimony, ignores public opinion, and keeps doing it. And they did it again a week before last. Oopsie there.
It seems like we might have lost Stu for now with Dr. Craig. If you just want to expand more on what's happening with the budget discussions going on.
Sure. We'll wait for him to come back. Sorry about your technical problems. So we had the legislature week before last come back from their public hearings where they pretty much ignored the testimony because the witness after witness was for full school public funding for fair shared revenue where the state gives the cities and the counties what they deserve and for badger care expansion. They ignored all that, and they took all of the governor's priorities out of the budget in their first meeting back in Madison. So we're in a situation where they have an artificial majority. That is because they used the maps to get this huge majority. It was not the will of the voters. Only the governor was democratically elected, and he's the only one who speaks for the whole state, where everyone had a chance to vote for him. They're going to ignore him, ignore the testimony, ignore public opinion, and impose their own budget again. This is the threat to freedom that the guest host has been talking about. They're just going to impose their will. What we are urging Governor Evers to do, and we had events all over the state last week in four cities. I was all over the state personally with our members, is to ask the governor to use his veto power, which is the strongest in the country, stronger than any other governor, stronger than the president. He can veto specific line items throughout the budget and change the numbers. Use that leverage to tell them he will deny them their top priorities unless they will negotiate over his, including badger care expansion. So we are, the governor is not the problem. He wants to expand badger care, but he's the only one who can stand up to the bullies, and we will stand behind him is our message. And he is getting phone calls from people across the state asking him to stand up to the bullies and use his veto power to the utmost in order to forced them to a real discussion of Wisconsin's priorities. So people can get involved by coming to the Citizens National Wisconsin website. There are action steps you can take there. We have a phone bank calling and talking to other people about this. And we'll have a lot of other actions and events. And obviously Excellent. Our Facebook page is very active.
Yes. Now, Dr. Craig, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Sorry about that.
Not sure. Oh, that's great, man. I don't know.
The technical gremlins.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there, but I'm glad that you can hear me now. We've only got about a minute to go to the break, and it sounds like, at least after I got reconnected here, it sounds like you were telling people about Citizen Action and how to get involved with Citizen Action. Is that right?
And your producer had stepped in and asked me to explain what's going on with badger care expansion. So I explained a whole campaign we're running, and we had events around the state to urge the governor to use his veto power to force a negotiation with this legislature, to force them to consider his top priorities like badger care expansion. He has the strongest veto in the country. He has tried everything to cooperate with this legislature.
Dr. Craig, we got to go to a break.
Way of the highway.
Stick around. We'll have you on for one more segment. Stick around if you can, please. Going to go to break. Everybody, stick around. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Yes, now we're getting somewhere. Welcome back, everybody. 10:33 right now on this Wednesday morning. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. He'll be back on Monday. And we've been discussing several topics this morning, mostly topics under the umbrella of freedom. What does freedom mean? Is there one party that is promoting freedom these days? And is there another party that's trying to repress our freedoms? I think it's pretty obvious what's going on. One party wants to ban books, ban women's health care, and give everybody a gun, or at least allow everyone to buy a gun. There may be some light at the end of the tunnel, though. You know, we are less than 18 months away from the next presidential election. And by the way, if you want to get involved in the conversation, feel free to call in. The number is 844-967-2789. You can be on the radio and let us know what you're thinking. And also, if you want to send me an email message, feel free. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. And light at the end of the tunnel. This is from Reuters. Reuters Ipsos has a new poll out, and the headline says, Biden maintains edge over Trump in 2024 U.S. election, according to the new Reuters Ipsos poll. And it says here, Dateline Washington, this was posted yesterday, President Joe Biden continues to hold an edge over potential Republican challengers Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis as the 2024 U.S. presidential election draws closer, according to the latest Reuters Ipsos poll. But there are potential hazards ahead for Biden should the situation at the U.S. southern border worsen, the poll shows. Among registered voters, Biden led Trump, his predecessor as president, by 6 percentage points in a hypothetical matchup, 44% to 38%, holding an advantage that has opened up in recent months. In a mid-March Reuters Ipsos poll, Biden led Trump by 5 points after trailing him by 3 points. Yeah, trailing him by 3 points in February. So February, Trump's ahead by 3 points. March, Biden's ahead by 5 points. And now with this new poll, Biden ahead by 6 points. The latest poll collected responses nationwide from 4,410 U.S. adults. For registered voters, it had a credibility interval, a measure of precision of 2 percentage points. That's plus or minus 2 percentage points. And in the 2024 Republican primary, Trump maintains a commanding lead over DeSantis, the Florida governor, who is expected to announce his candidacy within the next few weeks. 49% of registered Republicans picked the former president, more than double DeSantis's 21 support. So Trump leading DeSantis 49 to 21. Former Vice President Mike Pence was backed by 5% of Republicans, with former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, and others garnering even less. About 10% said they did not know which candidate they would support. Biden, the Democrat, who announced his reelection bid last month, would hold a slight edge with independent voters over a Republican opponent, the poll showed, buoyed by his positions on abortion and gun violence. It keeps going back to those two issues, abortion and gun violence. In this poll, 63% of registered voters, including 73% of independents, said they were less likely to support a presidential candidate who backs severe restrictions on abortion. Democrats' views on gun policy also scored better among respondents, with 67% of registered voters saying they were more likely to back a candidate who backed stricter gun laws. But the issue of migrants crossing into the U.S. from Mexico holds potential peril for the president. His administration last week lifted Title 42, a pandemic-era policy that blocked many migrants from applying for asylum, prompting fears of a surge of attempted border crossings. U.S. officials say tougher penalties for illegal crossings and new asylum procedures should deter some migration. And the story goes on. Oh, let me take a swig of water here. Why don't we go to the phones? We got Karina from Milwaukee on the line. Karina, good morning. What do you have to say?
Well, you see, I was wondering, and I really, you can hear my accent, so I'm an immigrant, right? So I'm still trying to figure out how the whole thing works, even though I'm here from 1995. And my thing is, we had a referendum, right? So people of Wisconsin had its opinion through the referendum, knowing to the government, no matter what kind of government is that, Republican, the Democratic, or whatever it is. So how does it work that opinion been asked, but then absolutely ignored, whether we're talking about the abortion and whether we're talking about budget here, whether we're talking about a legalization of marijuana? I mean, all of those questions were overwhelmingly for Wisconsinites said yes. And the government, even though they're supposed to reflect what the people wanted, and the people actually telling you what you want, what we want, they still say no. How is that possible?
Well, Karina, you are right. And as an immigrant, welcome to the United States. I know you said you've been here since 1995, so you've been here for a while, and yet still it does not make any sense to you that people support these issues, and yet the people who are making the laws don't support those issues. I agree with you 100%, but that's the way it is because of gerrymandering, right? You're familiar with gerrymandering. Republicans, once they gained control, gerrymandered. They drew the districts in such a way that they would always maintain power. And why they don't support the opinions of the people is beyond me. I don't understand why that is. It seems like they are burying themselves now in a hole with their views on abortion, views on gun control and gun safety. Yeah, I don't get it either, you know. And I was born here, and I've been studying this stuff most of my life, and it doesn't make any sense to me either, the way Republicans are voting these days and the laws that they're coming up with. It doesn't make any sense to me either.
Well, you see, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, really, they're supposed to reflect that people's opinion. We're sending people there to do what we want as a state to happen. So whether it's a gerrymandering or anything like that, it should be overwritten because it's a will of a people. You reflect. I voted for you to reflect my opinion. If you don't do this, then I don't need you.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Karina, thank you for the call. You know, that just goes to show you how important voting is, and not just voting, but educating yourself on what's going on. You know, it seems like Republicans these days don't care what their constituents want. They seem to have some kind of an agenda that I don't know if it, I don't think it came originally from Donald Trump, but it seems like Republicans are all trying to out-Trump each other, right? We've got the governor of Florida now, and I remember it wasn't that long ago, maybe a few weeks ago, that people were saying, well, you know, if DeSantis is the nominee for the Republicans, maybe he's better than Trump, right? Because he's not as crazy as Trump, is he? And he won't go as far as Trump. But now we see that he's trying to out-Trump Trump himself, you know, by taking away a woman's right to choose, making abortion almost impossible to get in Florida. Florida just seems like a crazy place these days, and it's too bad because it's such a beautiful state and it has so much to offer. But I think some people are thinking about moving from Florida just because it's gotten so out of hand. And I think other people think twice about going to Florida for vacation. But I agree with you, Karina. Thank you for the call. Hey, we got other callers on the line now. Let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Ken, are you there? What do you have to say?
Yes. When's Earl coming back? Monday?
Yeah, Earl will be back Monday. Are you tired of me already?
No. Great show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
is that all you called for?
Yeah, pretty much. Thank you.
Yeah, Earl will be back on Monday, man. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Eric from Tosa. I bet you he's got some good comments. Good morning, Eric. How you doing today?
Hey, Stu, the music man. Long time no hear. Good to hear you. Good to hear you still in the area and on the air. I guess you're still tight with Earl, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. Me and Earl are good friends, that's for sure. And I'm happy to fill in for him when he needs to take a few days off. Man, that guy has got to be one of the hardest working people in radio, that's for sure. So he said he wanted to take a few days off. I told him I'd be happy to fill in for him. Yeah.
Flattering to get the call. I'd like to say that, you know, what I like to say is it's when you hear politicians, you often hear them say, like, I will be answer to the people that put me in this position. And it's kind of a misnomer because people are thinking it's the voters, but it's actually the people that paid for their campaign. Those are the people that they answer to too often. And that's on both sides of the aisle. I'm not trying to pick on only Republicans when it comes to that, but that's a little sly little statement they'll often say, and it's that money behind them, which money out of politics is the key to that. Because it seems now, like you said about Republicans, and I found this with Act 10 and since, and it's been longstanding, but ever since, you know, say Citizens United or something like that, it's been on steroids, is that, you know, they can govern however they like, and they know within 6 to 9 months of an election, there's going to be millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars pumped in to propagandize the people and to get them to forget what you did 6 months ago. And just get onto some kind of theme that basically just knocks over their head who they're supposed to vote for. And so you don't see a lot of, like, I mean, look at the Republicans doing now. And like you said, in Florida, you know, they're all betting on basically the you know, between voter suppression and millions of dollars to prop up their campaigns, that they'll be able to do this stuff with impunity. But personally, I believe that if Dobbs stands as it is through 2024 and Biden remains upright, the DNC is going to sweep into power. Personally, I'll say that now. I've said it for a little while now after these last few election results, and there's more bad Supreme Court decisions coming this summer too. So it's going to get funky. But the key is in 2024, 2025, after inauguration and everything, is unlike 2009, 2010, the Democratic Party has got to act on this majority that they're going to get. And they sat on their hands and tried to move forward last time, and Senator Kennedy passed away, and it all fell apart going through Obamacare, through the Affordable Care Act. Right. So that's the important thing, I believe, is that they need to act come 2024-25.
Yeah, it's going to get funky. Funky but chic, right? Yes, it is going to get weird. Who knows what's going to happen? And it seems like the Republicans have no end in sight. They don't even know where they're going. They just know that they want to get as extreme as possible. And it seems like, at least until recently, that they were taking a lot of their direction from that guy that used to be on Fox News Channel in the evening, that Tucker Carlson guy. But it seemed like whatever he said is what they responded with. And I know there's others too, like Hannity and those guys, but it seems like it was... Yeah, I mentioned this at the beginning of my show today. It's kind of like professional wrestling, you know. It's not real governance. It's just kind of it's like cartoon politics or something. Hey, Eric, thank you for the call, brother. It's always great to hear from you. I hope you call back soon. Got to take a break right now. Everybody, stick around. This is going to be a short break. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Got to take the bitter with the sweet. You got to take the bitter with the sweet.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's funky but chic. Yeah, things are gonna get funky around here. That's what Eric was talking about. We got 10 minutes away from 11 o'clock now on this Wednesday morning, and you are tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today, having a lot of fun. Despite some earlier technical difficulties, having a great time. And this is the final segment of the show. How in the heck did that happen? It goes by so quick. 3 hours of great radio, right? Goes by pretty darn quick sometimes. Hey, I was going over some of these numbers, some of these figures from the latest Reuters Ipsos poll, looking pretty good for Joe Biden. Before I get back to that, though, it does look like we have a couple of callers on the line. Let's go to Tom in West Dallas. Good morning, Tom. What do you have to say today?
Just like to say, I really enjoy you, and I would hope that they could find you a slot somewhere in the day or in the week, what have you.
Yeah, thank
I'd
you.
I'd also like to. You're welcome. I'd also like to just comment on, and I'm sorry I cannot remember her name, the lovely woman with the accent asking about
Karina.
You know, the, our, yes, yes, about our constituents and why they are not, or I should say constituents, our elected officials and why they're not listening to us. A lot of it, I believe, and granted, here in Wisconsin, we got the gerrymandering and stuff, but if you look like down in Florida, those guys are winning with landslides. Like, the whole state believes that this is what we want, and they're following those people's ideas of what they want, and they don't care what we want. That's their base, and they're going to pander to their base, whereas, like, you know, in democratically held places, things we want, we're getting from them. So, unfortunately, it just seems that that is the problem there. It's like, yeah, we think this is all wrong, but there is a majority, or not even say a majority, but there are a lot of people who hold those beliefs and believe that we all need to follow those beliefs instead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I wonder, you know, one thing we talked about yesterday was the fact that when you break down the agenda of Democrats and ask people who vote for Republicans one by one about those issues, they usually support the issues that the Democrats support. You know, things like affordable health care and just things like a livable wage. And so when you run those things by somebody who votes for Republicans, they usually say, I support all that stuff. And then you have to ask, well, then why do you vote for Republicans? But I think in addition to the gerrymandering issue, a lot of it has to do with the way they think. And I think a lot of that has to do with what they expose themselves to. You know, if you're watching Fox News Channel every night and you're listening to Rush Limbaugh, who's no longer around, of course, but others who have taken his place, and Sean Hannity and you know, Tucker Carlson, if you're listening to that stuff all day and all night, then you start believing that stuff, you know, and you start believing that there's something wrong with government and that there's something wrong with these people who are in government that are trying to make the lives of the average Americans better. And, you know, you can call it brainwashing, maybe, but I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, the media that they subject themselves to can really make a difference in the way they think. What do you think, Tom?
I think that
are you still
they have
there?
Been indoctrinating. Yes, are you still there? Hello?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great word, brother. Okay. Indoctrination. You know, that's the word that they use all the time. They say that our kids are being indoctrinated by these Democrats in the public schools. And yet, who's being indoctrinated? You know, I don't. Thank you for mentioning that word. Go ahead, Tom. What do you have to say?
Oh, I would say just, you know, something along those lines too is how they're all trying to like banish TikTok and all that from the social media and stuff for kids and stuff, but yet they have no problem with like 4chan or 8chan or all that other stuff. I mean, look how many kids have been now in mass shootings. Oh, where are they getting all that from? You know, those ideas and stuff. I've seen the TikTok videos all the time. I've yet to see anything, and it's probably out there, but you know, that would make someone that angry. I mean, they got to be getting it from somewhere, and I don't believe it's from what they're trying to limit children from seeing.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, man. But you know, what people see really has an effect on how they think. At least a good portion of the population, you know, can be easily led into thinking crazy conspiracy theories. So I think that media has a lot to do with it, and maybe it's time we put some regulations on media like we used to have up until the Reagan era and, you know, back in the days of Walter Cronkite and Huntley and Brinkley. It seemed like there was a lot more balanced information. It seemed like truth was most important. Yet today you turn on Fox News or some of those other channels, and truth doesn't have anything to do with what they're talking about. It's all about trying to persuade the people and make them believe that they have to be afraid and that they need more guns, among other things.
As far as I'm concerned, media, they should give us what we need, not what we want.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put that in law. Media should give us what we what we need and not what we want. And it seems like, well, as we found out from that Tucker Carlson thing, it seems like a lot of the Fox News hosts were most concerned with giving their viewers what they wanted, more red meat for the viewers, rather than actually telling them the truth about what was going on in the election and stuff. It's kind of crazy. Tom, thank you very much for the call. Always appreciate you calling in. Let's go to the next call now. It looks like Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Ken, are you there?
Yeah. How come Fox has got the highest rating of any other news channel? Do the majority of Americans brainwashed, you're saying?
Yes.
The majority of Americans are brainwashed because they watch Fox.
I don't know if I would say the majority, but I would say that a lot of people are brainwashed because they believe the stuff that they see on Fox, and they believe the stuff that they hear from Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, stuff that isn't real. It's not true. It's not in. It's not really what's going on in reality. That's reality. Look at this.
Opinion?
I'm being told that we only have like 30 seconds left. So, hey, Ken, I'm sorry to cut you off, man. I wish I could have got to your call sooner. Give me a call tomorrow. I'll be back. It's the Earl Ingram Show. I hope everybody has a great day today. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.